Hi, and welcome to our next Monkey Gaming podcast. Today we are focusing on, we're going back to our apps and we're focusing on a fully accessible game for the App Store called Lifeline. And this game is by a developer called 3 Minute Games. And they've actually now created the Lifeline series. There's three games in all, but I think we're just focusing today on the first game in the series. With me again, I have James, and I'm just bringing you in now. James, are you happy to tell us a wee bit about what you thought about Lifeline?
Sure. So Lifeline, it's a new take on an old formula, isn't it? I mean, we have game. I mean, so it's a text-based adventure game, right? And I think they originated in I'm gonna say the 80s, maybe early 80s. I remember Zork was like a really famous one. And one of the problems I always had with those games, I don't know if you feel this way, Stuart, is that. So it basically it's like it's text comes up on a screen and then you're given a prompt, and so you can say like look west or pick up lamp or read book or whatever, but the method of input was always so specific. You really had to sometimes just bash your head against the wall until you got the exact combination of words and objects correct, so that you could progress. You know, sometimes it would be like you have to proceed north northeast, and just northeast won't do it. Or you can't just look at the chalice. You have to examine the chalice. You know, and it takes a lot of different inputs. But the way that Lifeline circumvents this problem is, and I think this will be contentious. I think some people actually not like what they've done, but I do. It's by rendering those choices down to just a simple multiple choice, sort of binary yes or no. Do you wanna stay in the safe place, or do you wanna go to the dangerous place that might be more rewarding? You know, just you get two options, and then you can tap on which one you prefer. And that's quite a good solution, isn't it? Because there's no more fumbling with the difficult dialogue choices. You know, you don't have to figure out the game's syntax. It's just a clear, concise yes or no, do this or that.
I loved it because of that, and actually, it's really good for people as well. If you're a voiceover user and you struggle to type using the on-screen keyboard, James, on the that comes up in the bottom half of the screen. So again, it's completely playable because all you're really using is your fundamental voiceover gestures. You're just using the one finger flick right and left to go through the story. And you're just double tapping on a choice, and then the game does the rest, doesn't it?
And I've been wondering this actually. Do you think that, so obviously as I've come to know recently, just having text in a game isn't enough for voiceover to be able to interact with. You know, it has to be specific type. And I'm wondering, do you think that the developers went into this one with the idea that they would make it as accessible as possible, or do you think it's more a happy coincidence?
I actually, to start with, I wondered whether it was just a happy coincidence because I was looking on a website and apparently there had been a couple of buttons that weren't labelled correctly. This was just from a person that had played the game using VoiceOver, and I went and I don't actually know what they're talking about because I've looked at it and it seems completely accessible. All the buttons, right down to the menu button at the bottom, is completely labelled.
Do you think they updated it later and changed it to make it
I
more
wonder if they've
accessible?
saw the comment and updated it. But I do think here's a wee promo here. But we're on Reddit now, and James, you were looking at a Reddit post this morning, weren't you? Where it said, it was a person that said, could you do a podcast on, and one of the games I mentioned was Lifeline, and they actually said the developer has taken great steps to actually implement VoiceOver into their game from the very start. They've built it in
Oh,
from
interesting. Yeah, so
scratch.
it's.
So I thought they might have built it in from scratch anyway, but this morning, it was good that you asked me that question because it's confirmed that this morning, I think, that the developer, as with all their games, the three games in the series, they're all completely accessible to voiceover users. And trust me, if you pick the first one up and like it, you're going to love the rest of them.
So the story is, I mean, I won't, you know, no spoilers here, but basically you are an astronaut Your ship crashes on a distant, you know, remote planet, and it's just you, the player, are tasked with guiding this player, this character Taylor, who is, I think we've discussed before, Stuart. We can, I mean, the gender is never, at least as far as I'm aware, explicitly stated.
I really love that because I looked to start with. I looked on the App Store description for a second name after I had. Taylor who, you know, and so I looked, couldn't find one, and then I looked on the App Store as well to see, after playing it, I looked to see, is this a man or a woman? You know, because I was so, you know, immersed with this character, and they actually, I think that, and they do, don't they, the developers leave it completely up to you to decide,
yeah, leave it hanging,
you know, so if you want him to be a man, he's a man, if you want a woman, she's, you know, a woman.
And I think that's a pretty good choice. I mean, it allows you to characterize Taylor more specifically based on yourself, you know, because it's quite a, I mean, I think what the developers had in mind is that you develop a sort of intimate relationship with this person because they're contacting you, or ostensibly contacting you through your phone, you know. It's like you get a little notification saying, well, Taylor has done this or said this, and then you immediately go and respond. And the things that Taylor does happen in real time. So, for example, if Taylor has to go to sleep, then the game will, you'll just be greeted with the text, Taylor is busy.
Taylor is busy.
For like 8 hours, and then Taylor will wake up, and you can, and that might annoy some people, mightn't it, Stuart, because they might not want to wait.
It might, right, but the fact is, I absolutely loved it. I really loved it because, I mean, essentially it's a game book or a text adventure game, whatever you want to categorise it as. But when have you ever played a text adventure game or a game book in real time? That was the element I loved about it. And when I first put the game on, you hear like a, do you hear a series of beeps when the communicator's getting loaded up? And then it's just a case of you going through the story. And but it's the fact that, I don't know, the more I played the game, the more I was feeling as though Taylor's life is, it's literally in your hands,
it's
isn't it?
It's literally in your hands.
It's insane.
Literally in your smartphone.
I've never played a game like it. You know, I just thought, oh, it's just going to a text adventure in real time. Oh yeah, fine. And then I picked the thing up and I just, this is great. I mean, I put it on, I deliberately ended up putting it on my iPad, and I didn't want it on my phone because I work 9 to 5, and it would have just been a distraction, you know, at the work. But then the reverse side of it was, I was sitting at my work, and just these random thoughts kept coming into my head. I wonder if Taylor's all right, you know, and I'm just gone. Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. What struck me about it was that it was surprisingly brutal. Like, you were talking about how there's one decision fairly, we won't say what it is specifically, but there's one decision fairly on that we both chose different sides on, and I didn't think, you know, much of it. I just thought, oh well, you know, it's just one of the slightly more arbitrary decisions. But actually, you chose different to me, and your character ended up freezing.
I killed Taylor.
So
I told Taylor to take a certain path, which I genuinely believed, you know, in my heart, that was the right decision to do. And I woke up. I went to my iPad when I came home from work, and Taylor had died, and I had to start. It came up, connection lost, and I actually thought, oh God, it's my Wi-Fi. But then I remembered, you don't actually need Wi-Fi to play the game, and I was sitting, I was tapping buttons, I was frantic because and it ended up, I thought, oh my God, I've killed Taylor. That was the exact thing that went through my head.
Yeah. And
because I'd came to think of Taylor as kind of, you know, you are literally, or he or she is depending on you for their survival. And it's just,
yes, I mean, it's a good, they do a really good job of creating a connection with a character, don't they? Because you've got the kind of the life or death choices, but also, as we mentioned previously, the method of communication, the fact that you're sort of getting like updates or messages from Taylor, it does, it makes it, it kind of breaks the fourth wall in a way, and it makes it feel realer.
As one of the most, sorry, I think I interrupted you in your flow there. A text, it's one of the most well-written text adventure stroke game books I have ever seen. You know, it actually, to engage you with the character the way it does, is because he or she, I keep saying he, but Taylor has, you know, they've not lost their sense of humour, have they, James? You know, when you're playing through.
It reminds me a lot of actually, I don't remember who wrote it, but the book,
Dave
the Martian.
Oh, The Martian, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who wrote the game either, but yeah, I was thinking it reminds me of the novel The Martian, which they recently made a film out of. It's that same kind of wry, sort of in the face of all odds, I'm going to do it. It's gonna
yeah,
be
Matt Damon, but Ridley Scott directed the film. Yeah, point here, but The Martian, I've got that on my phone as well, and it's completely accessible, and it's very similar to Lifeline, the Lifeline genre. There's another game called Frequency that is similar as well, that's fully accessible. And the reason I'm telling this is because these games, I think you're going to see a lot more of these types of real-time text adventure game books.
It's sort of giving that to a new genre.
I think that's basically, long-windedly, that was what I was trying to say. It's given, I think you've got a whole new genre of gameplay here. And the only thing that I would hope is that the developers of these games continue to make them completely accessible.
Yeah, definitely. I think that would be you know, key. So.
Yeah, going back to Lifeline, I mean, have we said? I mean, it's crash landed on, you know, this planet, and then I'm trying not to give. Can I give one spoiler? It's nothing too bad, but I've directed them somewhere, Taylor, and Taylor ends up being hungry, and they've been, before their spaceship has crash landed, they've had like rats on board their spaceship. You know, I think that they were quite friendly creatures towards them or something like that. You know, they were using them for a humane purpose, basically. And all he's got left, he's actually found a load of rat food. And he thought, oh, that's fine.
Score.
I can eat rat food. I'll be okay. I'll not be that hungry after all. So Taylor's willing to eat rat food, but you have the choice. You can make him eat it, or you could send him down to the kitchens to see if there's any other, you know, humane food, if I could say it like that.
Send him down to the kitchens?
I sent them down to the kitchen and it's another wee spoiler, but then put it this way, they never got food.
Oh, yeah, I just had him eating rat food like constantly.
Did you have him eating rat food, cruel man?
You know, food is food. If it's got some nutritional value, you're in space.
That's true.
Times.
Yeah, I think I've maybe been too humane and possibly caring.
Often hear people say that about themselves.
Well, yeah, but then I end up killing Taylor, so Taylor went from being the lone survivor to, you know, just dead. I feel terrible. How can a game make you feel like that? I feel awful that
I find it interesting because it's kind of like when we talk about a lot of games these days, like, you know, Call of Duty or Street Fighter or just any real big budget action game, they're all about, they're so focused on gameplay, about instant gratification, about more adrenaline. So it's interesting to see a game that not only is based entirely on the story with almost no gameplay element to it, but also actually, you know, dangles the next story segment just out of your reach until an amount of time has passed. It kind of forces you to practice patience and to wait. It's kind of zen, isn't it? It's like,
I think so. And again, I know some people don't like it, because, I mean, like, I was playing it right through, and I was only having to wait maybe 5 minutes or so, you know, on Taylor, you know, going to certain points and the, you know, on the planet, you know, and finding things, and then you'd get another beep saying, Taylor is waiting. I think that's what the notification says. But then, when I got to the bit where he was actually going to bed down for the night, but I loved it because that's what would happen in that situation, isn't it? You know, Taylor's got to sleep. You know, and the fact it's done in real time just added to the playability or the expectation of the game, because it left me going to sleep wanting more, you know, if that's the right way. And I couldn't wait to get up in the morning. Oh, what's happened? I actually got up 10 minutes early to see what had happened, you know, to Taylor if he was ready.
That is a sign of a good game. You're waking up early in the morning to play it.
Yeah, and I mean, the price of the game, I mean, it's not even that dear, is it? I think it was it 79p or
I
something.
actually got it. It was what the only reason I found it was
Oh,
because it was on the free app of the week
you got it
on.
free, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually, you can buy the whole three games. You can buy a Lifeline bundle, and you'll get the whole three series, you know, the whole three games in the series, and you get 30% off. So that's maybe.
Okay.
Although maybe somebody would, maybe you'd want to play the first one to see if you like it. I don't know.
I mean, these prices aren't, you know, they're not huge. I mean, you can get hours of entertainment from these things, and it's like the
Yeah.
price of a Big Mac, isn't it? It's like
Yeah. No, probably
less.
not even as dear as a Big Mac. I think as well, like Lifeline. I think the first one takes approximately 3 days to complete. You know,
Three
if you played it
days,
to time,
wow.
if you played it to real time. But the beauty of it is, like, I remember one day I went to my work and I just had to rush out the door, and Taylor hadn't made his decision yet on, you know, he was still searching for something. And I went to my work and I came back maybe 8, 9, 10 hours later, picked up the iPad, and Taylor was still in the same position. You know, he's not going to die because you've left it 10 hours, or, you
Yeah,
know, so.
that would be really annoying, wouldn't it? If like the game was punishing you for not playing it all the
I
time.
think that I'd actually incorporate that into the series,
Really?
but again, that's just the sadistic bit. I'm wondering if you made a new
That's
being
like, what if
noticed.
your iPad runs out of battery? What if you have to go away for the weekend?
Well, that's you
Then
just
what,
have.
Taylor
Aye,
dies?
no, that's maybe.
Better cancel all your plans. You're playing the game
Yeah,
now. And it lasts like 5 years and you can't do anything else until you've
that'd
completed it.
be quite funny
I'm
if I
actually
say.
describing like World of Warcraft or any other
Oh, World of War.
MMORPG that just completely absorbs your life.
Just totally, yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I can't access these ones, but
Oh, you're seriously,
yeah.
you're better off without them. They're just demonic.
Are they?
Lifeline is better because the Taylor doesn't die if you go away and do something for a
No,
few days.
Taylor dies just because basically of my incompetence, and I should have done the thing right, which James has
It's a
already just
difficult
dies.
choice, to be fair. I'm not sure there is. I mean, there was one right answer, but you couldn't know until
Well,
you
yeah,
tried.
I didn't want him to suffer, that's all. I was trying to help him and end up,
I found
yeah.
myself trying to guess what the designers were getting at. Like there were some choices where it really seemed like one of them was the better option. Like there's one bit where like my guy got hurt and there's like he's like, oh, I really want to go back now. And then the choice is no, keep going, or yeah, okay, go back, you're
Yeah,
hurt.
go
And
back
so
and
I said keep going because I thought maybe they were going to reward, you know, perseverance, and you know they were going to kind of throw you a curveball. And actually, the option that seemed correct wasn't going to be correct. I
that's
won't say which, you
interesting.
know, what happened,
Yeah.
but I thought it was interesting. I'm trying to outmind game the writers.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. I didn't think of it like that. I was just completely having, you know, I'd somehow bonded with the thing, you know. It just,
Yeah.
I would be more looking at, I probably, I don't know that I've got to that stage, but I wonder whether, depending on the situation, I might have sent them back. It's interesting that we seem to have taken different choices,
Yeah.
you know, through. And when we speak to maybe more people who've played the game, it'll be really interesting to see what choices they've
Yeah,
taken, you know,
I would
personally as
also be
well.
interested to see how some people react to the real-time element. Because again, it's like deferred gratification, isn't it? You know, you're not. I mean, some people they'll feel. I'd imagine they'll feel like, you know, I bought this game. I want to be able to play it when I want. You know, I don't want to have to wait. But personally, I really like that because
The real-time
it's different.
aspect, it's so good. I mean, as I've said, it's really well written, and but the real-time's good because, you know, other game books I've played, you're making a choice and you're not caring what happens, you know, really to the you know, this is a very, very, and the real-time actually adds to that. I'm really interested to play the rest of the Lifeline games as well, because like the second one is twice as long
Oh,
as the
cool.
first one. Can I say a bit about the
Yeah,
other
of
two?
course.
I'll say a bit about the second one. I'm not going to tell you about the third one. The second one is a totally different scenario. It's you actually play a female character this time, and what happens is her parents have been murdered. It's almost like a, you know, like the Batman sort of way. Her parents have been murdered, and she goes out to avenge her parents, and you are...
By dressing up as a bat.
Well, I hope not. That would be too, like, a copyright
it's
issue.
It's inspired
there.
A lot. By
I think it's... when I looked at it, the Batman story without the bat element came in, you know, it was a typical Batman scenario. So her parents have been murdered. You're kind of going out to avenge them, but you've got a brother who you need to... who comes into the story. And I think there's a bit of a darkness to the story.
Is there kind of like a murder mystery aspect that you're trying to figure out?
It's a murder mystery stroke horror sort of thing. You know, there is a horror element, I think, to it as well as you play on. And again, it's all in real time. You know, it's the same premises. There's just a lot more choices and life or death decisions to be made. The third one... I'll only tell you the third one is called Lifeline Silent Night, which I spoke to James about earlier, and Silent Night just, I don't know, it didn't remind me of Christmas at all. It actually filled me with a sense of dread a wee bit.
Interesting. So they've got you hooked. You're a fan of the franchise.
Yeah, but I want to see what happens to Taylor first. I want to actually guide Taylor. My mission in life is to now guide Taylor again to survival. There's a good thing about it as well. With all the games, what you can actually do is when you complete Lifeline, you can actually go back. Did you do that? Or have you not completed it either? Have you, James?
No.
When you complete it, you can actually go back and you can make other choices to see what would have happened if you'd taken another path.
Cool.
I think that seems quite a cool thing, and it's great as well because it works with Apple Watch. So to be honest, I think it's better if you put it on an iPhone, because you've got your iPhone with you all the time, you know, your iPad. I know I deliberately put it on my iPad, but if you've got your iPhone all the time, you really are keeping up with Taylor in real time. And if you've got an Apple Watch, you can actually you don't even have to open up the app on your iPhone. You can just make the choices on your Apple Watch through the notifications.
Well, that's cool.
So that's another
really,
cool.
They've got a really well like developed ecosystem, don't they, Apple?
Yeah.
They all interact with each other.
They do, but again, you know, it's up to the. I mean, like 3-minute games, they didn't have to make it compatible with Apple Watch.
Yeah, sure.
You know, but they've done that, and you actually get more out of the game. To be honest, if I'm not saying run out and buy an Apple Watch, but I personally thought I got more out of the game when I had it on the iPhone as well as the Apple Watch.
Yeah.
I only done it the weekend though, because it does cause a distraction if you're at work, as I've said. 3-minute games, by the way, can I just say that they're on Twitter? We're following them on Twitter now, and it's quite a good way to keep up to date. If you're really interested in the Lifeline series, you get quite good little tidbits of what's coming up, because there are going to be definitely more than 3 games, because I think this was the number one game on the App Store, wasn't it?
Was it? It wouldn't surprise me. You know, it's really well put together.
I don't know if it was the number one game, but it took the App Store, it's gotten the thing, it took the App Store by storm on the app description, and I think everybody from the developers to the, you know, the customers, if I could call them, you know, customers, everybody's just been blown away by the scope in which this game has taken off.
I'd be interested, because obviously a few weeks ago we did a podcast on A Blind Legend.
Yes.
And I would be interested to see a game that combines elements of both Lifeline and that game. Because I think that A Blind Legend would be possibly quite improved by the ability to make decisions like you can in Lifeline. You know, and with the more RPG, more sort of personal storytelling. But I also think that Lifeline might benefit from, you know, the combat and navigation style that you see in A Blind Legend with the binaural audio.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think that'd be great. And I think there's kind of... There's basically... Put it in a nutshell, there is actually game books out there, or, you know, text adventure games with combat elements installed in them, which I would love to play, but none of them are accessible.
I see.
So, you know, there is that, they are out there, but because of the gaming engines, which again, James and I spoke about with another gaming developer, where I was really upset when I found out their games weren't accessible, but the gaming engine is such that there's just no way they can be made accessible.
Well, for now, I mean, that was Unity, wasn't it? Unity's a really popular
engine
with indie developers. But the way it renders text sometimes means that you can't, like, the voiceover
it won't read it because there's a picture element involved, isn't there? So it's all down to gaming engines. But just, you know, and maybe in the future, maybe either Domino, who does a Blind Legend, or 3 Minute Games, you know, surely the developers will be looking at ways to make improvements or make new innovations to their...
Yeah, I imagine so.
So again, there's maybe wee ideas we could be tweeting about, you know, maybe have a combat element. And by the way, maybe Lifeline, maybe in the prequel, I don't know what you can call them, sequels or prequels, but, you know, in the future games, maybe they've got the combat element involved. Maybe in Lifeline 2, you know, I'm just reluctant to play those games until I've got Taylor sorted out yet, but... maybe there's an element.
Well, I mean, if they do in the future release, you know, Lifeline games with combat, feel free to just send us the royalty checks in the post.
We'll promotion checks. But again, it's just great that they've built this voiceover into their games, you know, right from the very start. And it's just, the game's so simple, isn't it?
Yeah, but sometimes that's all you need to, you know, spark your imagination. It can involve you. And some of the greatest games are simple, you know, whether it's a simple story or it's a simple, you know, platformer like Mario or whatever. It doesn't need to be insanely complex, does it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, with an audio game, I think it's widely recognised now that you leave it up to your... the developers really got to leave it up to the player's imagination. So, like, when you're fighting, you know, in a Blind Legend, for example, you're fighting some kind of monster, but the monster could be anything you want it to be. You know, it's not rammed down your throat. It could be a troll. It could be, you know, a dragon. It could be an ogre. It could be anything your mind conjures up. But, you know, it's entirely up to the player's point of view.
Yeah.
And a Blind Legend does that. It doesn't really ram things down your throats, does it? It's all more about the communication.
It leaves a lot up to your imagination. And that's kind of an experience that a lot of mainstream games can't offer, isn't it? Because they provide everything on a plate. You know,
it's the visuals.
There's not really much room for your own take on a story because the developer has just provided every aspect of it. You know, all of it's there. So there's nothing really specific to you.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose for something like, which I've never played, but something like Call of Duty, I think you're just going to get the visuals, you know, just coming at you from all roads, aren't you? You know, and there'll be, you know, bullets flying everywhere, there'll be gore, there'll be bodies everywhere, guts. And, I don't know that it would leave so much in terms of your imagination.
It's kind of almost a completely different experience, isn't it? And that kind of goes to show just how broad the term computer games is, because it can involve, you know, real-time sort of text adventures like this, where you choose, you know, which path the character takes, and it can also involve online chess, it can involve Call of Duty, you know, it can involve games that are almost films, but you have like one or two moments of interaction. It's a really broad medium.
Yeah, and there's so many different designs and you know, gaming concepts out there, isn't there?
Yeah.
That, you know, could be incorporated into games. But, you know, again, audio games, I think, really are on the rise. I know this is like a text adventure game, but this might actually, again, do you think this might bring text adventures?
It seems to be bringing them back,
doesn't it?
It's introducing them to a new generation, isn't it? Because kids now, like young people, have apps on their phones, and they're sort of just buying stuff on the app store for like 50 pence a pound. And they have no idea what Zork was like back in the late 20th century. They have no concept of what that text adventure style was, but they're still getting that sort of experience with games like this.
Yeah, I mean, like Zork is, because again, that's like you're actually typing commands with Zork. I wasn't that keen on Zork. I don't know if you ever played.
It sounds like it would give you a lot more freedom typing in the commands, but really, there's still a criteria that you have to fulfill to progress.
Yeah.
And you're just having to take way more steps that are sometimes, you know, not that obvious.
I just couldn't
do it.
I couldn't be bothered. And, you know, I was fascinated to start with, and then I just kind of lost interest by degrees.
I have not met anyone who has. Can you even complete Zork? I don't actually know. I've not met anyone who's played it for more than about an hour.
Ah, interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I think 45 minutes to an hour was my limit. There was a great thing, though, out in Nate. Have you ever heard of the Proteus?
Proteus.
It was a wizard. He was a wizard that was, and you were taking him through different adventures.
It doesn't ring well.
Oh, they were. I only got my hand. It was, I must have been about five or six. And it was, my cousin was playing them on an old computer. I can't even remember if it was an old Apple computer or not. And they've recently revived this sort of, they've got a game book called Proteus, The Tower of Terror. And it's brilliant because you can actually, it's not just a game book, you can die in it. And fun.
Oh,
so, you know, they're all coming, game books and text adventures, I think, are really making
they're
some
making
sort
a comeback,
of
a, aren't they?
Especially, I mean, Lifeline is really innovative, you know.
Yeah.
I love, in games, I love that word, innovative. It's just, the idea was that, what a simple idea, but the effect it's had is unbelievable. It's
absolutely
all you need.
How would you compare Lifeline to A Blind Legend?
Interestingly, the way I would compare it is actually thinking about the character, James. Now, again, we've touched on this in, you know, Boom Boom, another podcast that we've done, A Blind Legend, that go and check it out on our YouTube channel. But the character in A Blind Legend, Edward Blake, now, I didn't like him. I know we've had this discussion. Didn't like him at all. Was meant to be an anti-hero, very rough, very, I felt, very unpleasant.
Some might say abusive.
Some might say abusive because of a certain part, yes. And when I, you know, you could die in A Blind Legend in, you know, several different ways. And when I died, I was losing lives and I didn't really care that much. I just waited a wee while and went back in. But with Taylor, you actually kind of care for the character. You know, they're kind of dependent on you, as I've said. I mean, the concept, the gaming concepts are completely different as well, though, aren't they? You know, A Blind Legend, you're away out to save your wife, where Taylor, you're actually just trying to save, you know, a completely different character in a
situation. It's like A Blind Legend is kind of positional based, you know, it's about shapes, it's about movement,
yes.
It's about reacting to stuff in real time, whereas
binaural audio.
Whereas Lifeline is more about choosing which way a story develops.
Yeah, but again, what I like about both is that they leave a lot to your imagination, as we've said. I'd rather compare it to, you know, I think they're quite difficult games to compare.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I would rather podcast I've also done. A while back on a game book developer called Choice of Games. So they do kind of similar things to Lifeline. And as I say, I could compare those two because Choice of Games, they've done about maybe 40, 50 different game books, but really I didn't care much about the characters and none of it's in real time. And once I'd completed a game with Choice of Games, sometimes, and to be honest, sometimes I wouldn't even complete it, I'd just delete it, I'd get bored with them. So, but with this, I think even it could have some replay value, Lifeline, as well.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
I think these multiple choice style games do, you know.
Yeah, and it's just, I'd be fascinated, once I complete it, and I will, I've made it my sole mission in life to complete them, and once I complete it, I know right away, I'll go back and actually take a look at some other choices to see what would have, you know, I want to explore every bit of the game. I just don't know how it's had so much of an effect.
One mechanic could be quite cool. I'm not actually sure this could be in the subsequent games already, but it would be cool if things changed in them depending on what choices you made in this one. So, like, depending on what you do, maybe there are some climactic choices at the end depending on what you do. the events of the third game are altered slightly, or the characters make reference to it or something. That could be cool.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There's another podcast which I hope we can maybe do in the future on a game called King of Dragon Pass.
Yes, I've heard good
And
things.
it's basically, I'm not going to go into it, but you play over a saga over about 30 years, basically. And you can make one decision in year one, and that decision, you'd forget about it, and maybe 10, 12 years later, all of a sudden, that decision could come back and
Yeah.
bite you. Is that kind of what you mean
Yeah,
with
absolutely.
it's a fascinating
Oh, interesting. Maybe
fascinating game.
that should be the next show then.
Quite possibly. I mean you have to play it with you, James, for
Yeah.
there is so much to it, so we'll need to see. I'm not I think we should say we won't promise that on being our next show, but certainly it is one we would like to do in the future. But that concept, again, I think is a fascinating one. There's a role-playing game which I'd love to do in the future called A Dark Room,
You've mentioned,
which did get to number one on the App Store. And again, that has the same kind of your consequences and earlier moves can
I
have a
see.
serious impact on you much later on in the game, and so much later that you've actually forgot you've made the decision in the first place.
It's funny because a lot of people view games as like escapism from the responsibilities of real life, you know, but in games, it can sometimes be quite fun to have responsibilities and to be, you know, responsible for your actions and have to
I
deal with
mean,
the
I
fallout.
like games. I really used I love going home and playing a game like poker, theater poker or something like that. And I do use that as an escapism, to be honest, because it's I've had a hard day at my work. I just don't want to think about anything, you know, too difficult. And but then as you say, James, when you play a game like Lifeline, you just completely as real as it gets, isn't it? You
I
know,
think
and
that's very high praise, and I think the developers would be very happy to know that it's having that effect on people.
yeah.
And does that just about?
Well, we wrap it up
Yeah,
on
yeah.
that. I think we've thoroughly covered Lifeline. I hope
You'd recommend it though. You'd suggest people should check it out.
I would recommend it to anyone that I met, sighted, non-sighted. You know, I would anybody could. You know, and I won't say maybe some people might be a wee bit scared by it.
It
Just
does have quite spooky music,
it
doesn't
does
it?
have spooky music in it. You know, it is quite a scary concept. You know, I was freaked a wee bit by some bits of it. You know, especially with the rat food part. And I think there might be aliens and things in it to come. I hope that's not a plot. I just don't know. I've not, as I say, my poor tailor hasn't made it that far. So I would recommend it to anybody. I will be pushing it on Twitter now that I'm following 3 Minute Games as well. And you know,
And
if
it's
you're
super
on
cheap, isn't it? So there's no
super
reason not
cheap,
to.
yep, and
If you're sort of
mentioning,
interested, you
well,
should go for it.
even just buy the first one and see you get on, and then you know, if you're like me, you might decide to buy the next two. We're on Twitter as well, by the way, at Monkey Gaming FSB, so please feel free to connect with us there, and we will wrap up there and see you again next week for another Monkey Gaming podcast.